You never know like what someone that what kind of
a we're doing Mishlei. We're starting the 10th chapter Mishlei. we have a bunch of new faces here, so we'll reintroduce. King Solomon wrote many works, and some of them entered the Tanakh. One of them was Mishlei, the Proverbs that he said out of Ruach HaKodesh. There were many Proverbs he said that did not make it into Tanakh. This here, the book of Mishlei continues with Mishlei Shlomo. We have been reading this Mishlei with a traditional tune, a Chalabi tune, and we'll continue. Mishlei. I don't have the trap here. What does it say about you? You don't need it. Okay. Can I see yours? Trapped is missing from that word. Sorry.
No bad recording.
That's what I thought it was, right?
Okay.
Mishlei Shlomo. Ben Chacham Yisamach Av Uven Kesil Tugat Imo. King Solomon said the following proverbs. Notice this is a reintroduction. He's starting again. Up until now, the chapters were more like introductory, and that's why previously we used to start from about here in our previous series, because the previous nine chapters focused on the greatness of Torah, the importance of Torah. Now Shlomo HaMelech is starting the Proverbs, which speak about many different topics. Mishlei Shlomo, Ben Chacham Yisamachav, an intelligent son makes his father happy. And here, this is a proverb for God. An intelligent person makes his creator happy. Uven kesil, and a foolish son, tugat imo, is the sorrow of his mother, and imo throughout Tanakh can often mean his people. Were any of you here 2 weeks ago?
I think I was.
Yeah, but I was only for the first
part. Okay. So, an intelligent son is the happiness of his father, gives rejoicing to his creator, and the foolish son brings sorrow to his people, brings sorrow to his mother. A lot of what we do in life is reflective of how intelligent we are. And a parent always has hopes that a child will be a continued positive force in the world. And in order for that to happen, he has to act intelligently. Lo yo'ilu otzerot rehesha utzdaka tatzil mimavet. The storage houses that were attained through wickedness, they do not have any benefit. Very often we think, we'll store away tons of money and, oh, that'll be such a benefit for us. Shlomo HaMelech says no. When you try to hoard money and you do it in a wicked way, that will be of no benefit. Utzdakan, on the other hand, when you give, so you think I'm losing by giving. So Shlomo HaMelech says, Utzdaka, when you give charity, tatzil mimavet, ultimately that saves one from death. And we have this throughout the Shas, the Talmud repeatedly gives us this recurring theme, Utzdaka, tatzil mimavet. Charity saves from death. That's one of the reasons why we give charity before Yom Kippur. Tshuva tefillat tzedakah, mavirin tora gzera. Lo yariv Adonai nefesh tzadik ve'avat reshaim yedof. The soul of the righteous Hashem takes care of. Hashem doesn't let them go in hunger. And the havat reshaim, when the wicked, when they fool, Yehedof, so then Hashem, so to speak, pushes them all the way down to the ground. Now, Havat Rishayim, when the wicked fall, when the wicked do things that are sinful, so then Yehedof, it is destructive to themselves. Very often, now, this is again a recurring theme throughout Mishlei. You think, how do I get wealthy? By hoarding money. Tells you, Shlomo HaMelech, hoarding money that was attained through wicked means will not benefit you. And this is again, look at any newspaper, look at any day, And you see that this is what people fall on. Utzdakah, but when you give charity, that you think you're giving, you won't have. Tells you Shlomo Melech, in the long run you will have. Tatzil mimavit, that saves from death.
That takes a lot of you removing yourself from the bubble you create around yourself, because you know you need it now. You need food. And it's true that sometimes we cannot give, even if we know that the current time is what, you know, like whatever is in this world or next world. You know that you need to eat today, and you might eat better fruits tomorrow, but you need to eat today. If you know what I mean.
So I think there are two points. When it comes to a person's need to eat today, so very often we feel like we have our needs and that's what we feel right now. And that's where a person has to transcend his emotion and his physical desires and look beyond the moment. And live a moral life, because at every stage of the game, a person feels like, I only need. It's true. If a person's dying of hunger, he's allowed to break into a store and take food. Right? You know, nothing stands in the way of pikuach nefesh. That's true. But our responsibility is to find other ways of doing it, right? On the level of, I have to eat, okay, so let me find other ways to eat. I know people who go to the shuk at the end of the day and collect the food that's half rotten, slice off the rotten part and eat the healthy part. There are ways that a person can make ends meet for free.
I wasn't talking so much about that situation. You know that you have 10 shekel and you can't give a lot of tzedakah.
Oh, so wait. As far as the tzedakah, so that was the next point. Right. Now, if a person says, I have to take care of myself, so I can't give tzedakah now, so then we should remember the pasuk in Torah, Uleven Shinaim Mechalav. The pasuk says, the whiteness of teeth is greater than milk. And Chazal say that if you turn to someone and you smile, and you show him the white of your teeth, you've given him more than if you would have given him to eat and drink. So tzedakah doesn't only mean I've given him in the physical sense. I could be warm to a person.
You can do other things, not just money. Masat Orechim and...
Okay, back to Mishle. We need you guys to shift the drop. Moshe, sorry. L'ariv Hashem nefesh tzadik v'avat Hashem yedof. Here again, someone figures, I'm going to get away with it. I'll just cause him to fall. And Shlomo Melech says, no. When a person does that, Hashem makes sure that that action causes the person himself to fall and fall all the way. And this is, if you look in Aesop's Fables, I remember as a child, there's that story about the ships at sea, that there was a bell that warned them that there were rocks there, jagged rocks there, and then there was a pirate who decided he's taking away that bell, and he stole the bell, and then his own ship was destroyed on those rocks. One time he was in a fog and he couldn't see, and he said to himself, gee, I wonder if I'm there, I don't know. And his ship was destroyed by those jagged rocks. So this is a recurring theme in life, and this is a theme which we have to think about. One of the difficulties in life is that we sense the here and now. That's what we feel. And that takes center stage by us. Like Rav Nachman says, if you take a penny and put it in front of your eye, it could drown out the sun. You don't see the sun, the penny seems bigger. Is the penny bigger? No, but you see the penny here. Same thing in life. Very often the here and the now overshadows everything beyond that. And here I want to tell you guys something. You guys in the gear department. That very often this is a challenge when a person has that challenge. I want to finish my gear. And that's the here and now. That's the challenge now. Don't let it outshine the sun. There's a whole life ahead of you. It's just a hurdle. It's a big hurdle. It changes your whole life. But it can't outshine the sun. There's a whole life around that, beyond that. It's a start. The rest of the guys here, you guys, you're in a different, you're on a different plane. But the guys who have that in front of them, sometimes they're so focused. I want to do this. I want to get it. And that's not everything, even though sometimes it seems like it's everything. but there's the morning after. It's like marriage. People are dying to get married. They want to find a wife. But what happens the morning after?
Both are important, right?
Both are important, right.
Because the one,
but just remember that
the night of the marriage starts the day of the marriage. Because without the night of the marriage, there's no day, right? There's no first day.
That's true, but notice what you're saying. That the night is the beginning of the future. Okay, so by gear, it's a little different. Like one of our students said to us before his gear, he said, I'm scared I'm going to die before I do it. After I do it, I can die. No, you can't die. No, you have a whole life ahead of you. So I'm saying, but that's again because the focus is on that moment. Till I get my head out of the mikvah, till I finish it. No, that's the start. And the same thing with marriage. People are sometimes so focused on getting married or so focused on having kids. And what happens afterwards? That's just the start. So this challenge is not only when it comes to Averot, it's also a challenge in all of life to maintain that perspective. Yeah.
Like, it all depends on what your aspirations are too. Is it, I say, there are certain things you can mean when you're saying you're looking for a wife. If, I gotta say this though, like sounding weird, like, if someone is looking for a wife to really satisfy certain desires, then of course,
which we all are,
the morning, right, it has something to do with it, of course. But if that's mainly what you're looking for, then yeah,
which we all are.
Okay, what now? But if he's looking for something more than that,
from some
that, but more than that, which is like a companion, like someone who lives with, then he does expect a purpose, right? Like any friend, you don't want to have a fight with a friend, right? You're never going to have a friend that you almost never fight with. You're going to have some sort of disagreement here and there. They expect the same thing in life. You're not going to be exactly disappointed because you expect it. You're prepared for it.
Okay. I hear you. Pasuk Dalit. Rash Sechaf Remia Riyad Harutzim Tashir. Rash, an impoverished person. And there's a very interesting line in the Gemara. Ein ani ela bedaat. The only poverty that exists is poverty of intellect. That's a Gemara. It's a Gemara.
My rabbi used to say there is one thing we don't pray for in the Amidah, is that it's for us to remember things. That we have.
Rash. No. The only type of poverty is when a person is poor of knowledge, when he is poor of intellect. So when a person is rash, when he's poor of Torah, poor of intellect, he makes for himself a scale that's a full scale, which is again the idea, what's the quick way to success? Let me cheat other people. Let me find ways to cut corners. And that tells us Shlomo HaMelech is rash. It's a person who is poor of intellect, poor of Torah, poor of wisdom. And so he thinks out of laziness, let me figure out a way to cheat people, and so I'll get wealthy. The Yad Charutzim, whereas the hand of those who are diligent, people who do things swiftly, responsibly, Tashil, they ultimately become wealthy. The secret to success is to work hard. V'yad charutzim ta'ashil. And I owe you guys the story of Van Vu, which I found. Van Vu. Mitzchem, I will bring it tomorrow, photocopy it, and post it. Story of a guy from Korea. From South Korea.
Ah, South
Korea. Who was... South Vietnam, I'm sorry, not South Korea. South Vietnam. South Vietnam. And how he became a multimillionaire. Mr. Shem, I will bring that and post it. I copy it tomorrow and post it.
You worked against the United States for 3 years.
Huh?
You did work against the United States for 3 years.
Ogel bakaitz ben maskil, nirdam bakatzil ben mevish. Oger bakaitz, the one who gathers in the time that you're supposed to gather, in the time of harvesting and gathering. Ben Maskil, that's an intelligent son. Nirdam b'katzir, the one who falls asleep when it's time to harvest, ben mevish, that's a son that ultimately brings embarrassment. And this is really a phenomenal concept. We have many examples of this pasuk, where I want to do what's right in the wrong time. I want to learn till 3 in the morning. I want to...
Fruit before Kiddush.
Oh, right. I want to make a bracha before Kiddush. It's all about timing. And one of the difficult things we have in life is that we want to do what's right, extra right, so to speak, but we're not doing the basics. Meaning, there was once a Rosh Yeshiva who said, learn your 2 Mishnayos a day, learn your 2 Halachos a day, say your Tehillim every day, say your Parsha every day, Shnai Mikra Vecha Targum, do your Daf Yomi every day, and then start being a Yeshiva Bachar. Do the minimum of a Balabayit, and then talk to me about doing more. So you guys are saying, that's way too much. Okay, fine. So leave your Daf Yomi. But Tehillim every day you could say... Very often we strive for more. So a guy says, I'm going to daven Masikin, but it's going to shoot his day. What about being on time for Minyan? Let's just try that. A person says, Lichvod Shabbos, I'm going to do a million things. I just had a guy who, Lichvod Shabbos, decided he's buying a fur hat. He was in the community of Sfaradim, but he walked around with a fur hat like a chassid. Didn't exactly match everything else in his garb, but he was going to do it because Lichvod Shabbos. Wait a second, did you help your wife lichvod Shabbos? They're basics. And very often, we want to do what's more than the basics, and so we miss the basics.
That's piety, sorry.
But I'll tell you, no, we make this mistake. I spoke to a relative of mine who has 30 or 50 workers. And he told me, I have workers who go beyond the call of duty on so many fronts, but they don't come on time. And they get fired. And when we fire them, they say, but you know, I did so much for the company. I did so much more than you asked me, here, there, and the other place. And from our perspective, if you weren't there on time, then everything else doesn't cover for it. What I need is that when the shift has to start, you have to be there. And if you're not there, then everything else that you do beyond the call of duty doesn't cover what I lost. And it blew me away because it changed my perspective. I once spoke to Rav Listman. I said, the guys need class during the break. And the guys are dying for class. And for years I used to give class during the break. So I said, I assume you're okay if I give class throughout the break, if the first week of class I take some of the days off. And he said, no, I'm not. I said, what do you mean? He said, I need you here the first week of class. I need you here giving class. You want to give class during the break? That's very nice. But the first week of class, you don't miss a day. I said, you know, I'm giving 3 weeks every night, more than I give during the year. And you're telling me you prefer... He said, yeah, that's what I'm telling you. I prefer you here that week. And don't miss that week. And when I first heard it, it blew me away. But over time, I realized, no, there's a system. The Machon has a semester. And that semester has to run its course. And everything you're going to do beyond that doesn't count if you miss the basics. A student comes, he wants to have his semester be a full semester. So I say, a student doesn't want to lose the break. He says, fine, you're right. But not at the expense of the basics that you owe. The basics is be there. And people make this mistake and lose their positions over and over again. Because they assume if I did more on this front, then it's okay if I cut a corner on that front. And their approach, like Shlomo HaMelech tells us, is why don't you just gather at the time you're supposed to be gathering? Ogel Bakaitz, a person who could gather at the time to gather, Ben Maskil, that's a smart son. And that's very hard for us. Because it means we have to work with the system. I'd much rather say, look, I'm doing so much more on every other front. No, be there on time. Start on time. Nirdam b'katzir ben mevish. And Shlomo HaMelech doesn't say he's a stupid son. The guy who falls asleep during the harvest, he got up extra early. Why is he falling asleep at harvest time? But it's going to be an embarrassment because he himself, later on, if he looks back, he reflects and he knows, why didn't I do it? There isn't a real reason. And they once asked, I don't remember which Rosh Yeshiva, what's a masmid? What's a top student? I think the Netziv said. Naftali Tzvi Yehuda, Berlin. He was the Rosh Hashiva of Elazhin. I think he was the one who said, someone who eats when he's supposed to eat, sleeps when he's supposed to sleep, learns when he's supposed to learn, that's the top student. We think if you do beyond, I learn when I'm supposed to eat, I learn when I'm supposed to sleep. Nope. He said, you want to know what a top student is? He does what he's supposed to do when he's supposed to do it.
So where did the urge come from?
I'm scared of answering that. I think that that urge comes from many different sources.
Things that we think we lack in one area of our lives, so we try to cover up all holes that we have in...
I'd rather answer it differently. Okay. I think that the place it stems from has a few answers, which we'd rather not hear. So I'd rather say that one of the places it comes from is that we never stop to think how important this point is. But now that we know it, so now we're going to do it. Meaning, very often, just like I thought, came to Rav Listman, I said, you know, it's been 3 years, every year, I didn't take a break. I assume you don't mind if this year I continue giving class without taking a break. And then I'll take off the first week, I'll take whatever time I need. And he said, no. And it blew me away. And sometimes you have to stop and realize, no, my responsibility is first to do my minimum. Then we could talk about doing more than the minimum. And let's just say that one of the reasons we do this is because we don't realize that. So now we realize it. I think that the other reasons are, I don't think it'll strengthen us to hear them, so it's better not to discuss them.
I want to hear them.
If you want to hear them, I'll tell you, but I'm not sure it's such a good idea. But whatever you want.
We can learn from that.
You do it in no time.
I think part of it is that we don't act in a responsible, planned out way. Meaning, right now I want to be above and beyond. So that's one part. I'm doing this for you. One part is the lack of planning, the lack of consistency. Meaning, it's much more comfortable for me to have those days I wake up a seeking than to be a steady at an 8 o'clock minion my whole life. And I value people who could be a steady at an 8 o'clock minion their whole life. I have very little respect for those people who make it to Vasikin twice a month.
What's Vasikin?
They get at the crack of dawn. They're always... So very often we're like that. So we'll have those moments where, we're gung-ho. But then we'll have those days where we're nothing. No.
That's life. Sometimes life, you know,
life is ups and downs, but the greatness in life is consistency.
But there are ups and downs, and despite the fact that you might be very constant with many things, and then you just...
I'm describing to you my own challenges too. What do you think? I'm just saying. I think this is every person in different areas of life has this challenge. For some people, they could be nice to people on certain days, and on other days, they're as mean as can be. So they don't have a challenge. They'll always be on time for davening. But they have a challenge being consistently a mensch. For some people, they have a challenge being a mensch when it comes to food. You know, sometimes they could be nice and considerate, and sometimes they're going to conquer every morsel of crumb that there is on the table. For some people, the challenge is being respectful to their parents. For some people, the challenge is being respectful to the Torah. And for some people, the challenge is davening and being on time for other things. So every person has to know his challenge and realize the value in conquering that challenge, being able to do what's right at the right time. Shlomo HaMelech says, "Birachot lirosh tzadik ufi reshaim yichase chamas." Birachot lirosh tzadik, the righteous, they receive blessings. Ufi reshaim, and the wicked, everything they say is about yichase chamas, covering up the. They're trying to cover up the thievery that they try to do. That's one understanding. And another understanding is that the thievery, the chamas, which they do, will cover their mouths. Meaning, you look at a tzaddik, so he's giving. You think, what will he get out of it? So Shlomo HaMelech says, no, he will be blessed, he will be appreciated by people. You look at the wicked, you figure, look at what he'll get. And Shlomo HaMelech says, no. All that thievery comes back to haunt him. Comes back to haunt him. And that's part of what we like to ignore in life. Someone once asked me, if I could cheat on my taxes and this and that, should I do it? So I said, question number one is halachic. Question number two is it moral? Question number three, and let's begin with question number three, is, do you want to spend the rest of your life wondering when an IRS agent is going to come knocking on your door? Is it worth it? Things catch up with a person. Zecher tzadik livracha v'shem reshaim yirkav. When people mention a tzaddik, so right away they bless him. Oh, he was such a fine guy. Zecher tzaddik livracha. And this pasuk is also a halacha, that whenever we mention a tzaddik, we try to say something positive about him. We don't just say zatzal. Zatzal stands for Zecher Tzaddik Livracha. But it's also a way we're supposed to behave. You mention him, say something positive about him. The Torah does that. It mentions Noach, tells you Noach was such a fine person. Zecher Tzaddik Livracha. The Shem Reshaim Yirkav, whereas the names of the wicked should rot, and we also do that. We try to obliterate their names. There's a halacha that you don't name a child after someone wicked. We don't keep up with wicked people's names, and when wicked are mentioned, so we mention part of their wickedness. And this is a fantastic concept that other ways of life have ignored. And you will see this as a recurring theme. Very often people think that Judaism is about do good, feel good, be good. That's true. But Judaism is also about obliterate evil, fight evil, don't let it have a stance, and say this is evil and it's wrong. And both are important. The same pasuk that says Zecher Tzadik Livracha, when you mention the tzaddik, it's a blessing, also tells you Shem Reshaim Yirkav, may the name of the wicked rot. And that's a perfect balance that the Torah gives us. It's not enough to be pro-good. You also have to be anti-bad. The Torah gives you that balance.
Rabbi, what about names like Ishmael, for example? But you know, the one who made the greatest people, but again,
he did tshuva. So that's why we use his name.
We use his name, yeah. And only one rabbi said that was that name. No, nobody else.
Okay.
With that name.
Ohavei Hashem sin'u ra.
What about that?
We say it every Shabbos. Ohavei Hashem, those that love Hashem, sin'ura, hate that which is wicked. Chacham lev yikach mitzvot ve'vil sifatayim yilavet. Chacham lev, someone who has a smart heart, yikach mitzvot, he grabs mitzvos. That's this week's parasha. Chacham lev yikach mitzvot, Chazal tell us, was Moshe Rabbeinu. Everyone else was running around getting rich. What was Moshe doing?
Getting some bones.
Getting a mitzvah, right? Bones. Hey, we made a promise. We owe it to Yosef. Moshe could have said like everyone else. Someone else's job. What was it his job?
To take everything out of Egypt.
take their wealth and their...
Right, they had an answer. We always have an excuse.
Moshe said, okay, we have Korach. Probably. She said, okay, we have Korach to gather for us.
Yeah, there's always an excuse. But that's a smart person takes mitzvos. He doesn't say, I have an excuse not to. He grabs them.
Well, I think there might be different levels because we know that the promise is one of the greatest things we have to keep, no matter what. If there is a promise, and we said from Yeshua time, you have to keep it no matter what. So if there was a promise, in fact, from the brothers of
right.
Joseph...
Where was everyone else? Why weren't they grabbing the mitzvah? Because they weren't smart enough.
Yeah.
I'm not faulting Moshe, I'm faulting everyone else.
Moshe is at the level that he speaks with Hashem, while the Israelites are just, you know, doing blindly what Hashem asks. They don't have time to think because they might be, you know, afraid.
I disagree. 100% I disagree with what you just said.
Well, it's just so 4/5 of their brothers dying in the darkness. So they think that if they do not do what Hashem asks them now, you know, they might have the same fate. They might have things like this.
Okay.
That sounds like how we should have, like, Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to have the minzah. Or should we say, Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to do the good, wanted to do what's right, because you said that in other classes, and it's true, sometimes we meet people, they say, you know, I can help you, at least I can get mitzvah. And once a person told me, I can help you, I can visit you in a hostel, I can get the mitzvah. I was 1 second to tell him, if you come for the mitzvah, don't come. If you want to see me, if you want, you know, like whatever. If you want to do the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim is one thing, but if you want just because of the mitzvah, that's not a proper hashkafa, right? To have... So how can we say that Moshe Rabbeinu was to grab the mitzvah or to do what was...
That's a great question. Give me just 1 second.
We're in the middle of something.
To do mitzvah is to do good, because let's put things in simple terms. Because Torah is good, Hashem does good, also Hashem does what we can call bad. But is when we do mitzvah is to do actively do good, or Deshkafa when we say that Moshe Rabbeinu he wanted a mitzvah when he called for Yosef and when the bones came floating, he grabbed the mitzvah. What does that mean according to your wording?
Well, you can ask.
He did what's right because the nation made a promise to Yosef, or Moshe Rabbeinu Sam took the mitzvah, and that was the most important thing to do.
Well, it's different to do what's right and what's good. There are two different concepts.
I think that this goes back to the discussion we had earlier tonight, that Uri asked, how could the Midianites want Israel to sin if they recognize that sin would be their downfall? So then they recognize Hashem's in the world. So then how could you cause them to sin? And we discussed at length that in our Medrash Pirkei Drabbi Eliezer class, we discussed that the challenge of life is where is my focus going to be? Meaning I realize Hashem wants one thing. But I can put Hashem on the sidelines, or I could fool myself to think that what I'm doing is within that, or a myriad of other answers, like we learned in the Drasha Saran, that we all have those moments where our actions completely contradict what we believe in. So the greatness of a person is when he can maintain that focus.
Which things? Can we say that we can do a mitzvah, but that it might be very hard for us, and we don't understand, we don't like the mitzvah, we don't want to do it, but we need to do it.
No one is answering you. Right, but it's difficult if I don't have perspective. It depends on how I get out of bed in the morning. If I get out of the bed in the morning and I'm thinking about my coffee and I'm thinking about how tired I am and I'm thinking about me, so then everything's a challenge. All the mitzvahs are a challenge.
It's really to submit ourselves to Hashem and
again?
Is to really submit ourselves to the yoke of heaven.
But you know, but on a real level.
Not, and not understand that we're not just robots. We really, that means something. It's not just like do this and wash the hands, you know, and pray these not a moment.
But also to see the value in it.
Right. To be true, like to be, it's not life and Torah, like some people unfortunately do, to have Torah within life, within yourself.
Yeah, but that's work. That's
level,
not easy.
Right, it's true. It's not.
It's a not. Yeah.
It's a shift. Right. Grab Torah towards you.
Ve'evil sefataim yi la vet. Ve'evil sefataim. So here, one understanding is a person who's foolish in his speech. Ve'evil sefataim. Yilavet, he is just wearing down his lips with his lip service because he's all talk and no action. The chacham lev, the intelligent one, is action. Yikach mitzvot, he grabs the opportunity, he does good in the world. Ve'vil sifatayim, someone who's foolish in his talk, yilavet, wears himself, wears others down because he's all talk. And this is something which we always have to check ourselves on. You know, talk is important. Where we talk is very often where we end up, but it has to move on from there. Holech batom yelech behetach. A person that walks and he is bitom, he is whole with his Creator. He walks with confidence. That's one of the greatest gifts that the Torah gives us. Like the Kuzari writes, a person who does not have tradition, a person who does not have a Torah, always has to question himself. Maybe I should have done more. Look, if you ever read any of the Greek stories, you see that that's what happens. They're out at sea, and suddenly there's a storm. So what do they say? Ooh, maybe we should have offered a better sacrifice to Zeus before we went off into sea.
How do you know this?
Maybe, what?
How do you know this?
That's there. An excellent question.
There.
You're not his first Greek student. There are more Greek students before
what?
You.
What?
He was speaking to Daniel or to Yosef?
It's a good
sea?
Question. And if you want, one day I'll answer you. One of the challenges that a person has if he doesn't have a tradition is that he never knows if he did what he had to do. And one of the gifts that the Torah gives us is that we can go to sleep calmly at night. A person doesn't have to keep questioning himself. He can be yelech beta. I'm doing what I have to do, and as such, I can go to sleep at night. I'll tell you a practical application here. I once had to go to do a mitzvah in a certain town, and I had to sleep over there. And I researched whether it was safe to go there, it wasn't safe to go there. Fine. After all the research I did, the bottom line was, it was safe, it was logical, the right thing to do was to go and do the mitzvah. Fine. So I pack my bags, I get on the bus, I go there, and I got to spend the night there. And I knew that terrorists had come to that place in the past. And whatever, I purposely left that out. This happened to me more than once in life. If you want, you could say it's Yeshivat Merkaz Arav, the library.
Yeah.
If you want, I spent 10 years there. Happened to be that night I wasn't there when they shot up the place. But I'm saying this happened in more than one situation where I found myself scared. And I said to myself, why am I scared? Why am I scared? Because emotionally I'm scared. I'm sitting on a chair that has a hole from the terrorist last week who shot someone on that chair. You know, scary. I'm sitting in a room. I went back to learn there when the door still had bullet holes. I walked to get a safer. I see bullet holes in the floor. Merkaz Arav. Merkaz Arav.
2003 years.
Don't get scared, you see. No. 2008.
I heard about this in America, and I picture something.
In March 2008.
Up the block, we heard the shots. So, a person asks himself, okay, why am I scared? I'm scared because my emotions are scared. That's normal. It's traumatic. I learned here 10 years. I was supposed to be here, and Baruch Hashem, I wasn't. Okay. But if you think it through and you say to yourself, wait a second, logically, makes sense to be here. Halachically, it makes sense to be here. I did the right ishtadlut, I did what's right, and I'm doing what's right that I'm here. So I am holech batom. I'm going in a path that's whole with Hashem. I'm not doing something rash. I'm not running out there and risking my life for no good. I'm not even risking my life. I'm going with the normal decision that a person has to make in life.
The cheshbon. It seems you're taking it as it seems that everything's perfect. Someone is perfect all his life, and you never know if you can dafka on that moment. That will be your judgment.
Because I'm not saying that the outcome will be good because I deserve it. I'm saying, but if I thought it through and I worked with the system I believe in, so then I have nothing to worry about. That's what living in a system...
But din can happen anytime. And
no one's saying it won't happen.
Right, right.
But I have nothing to fear.
You're sure that what you're doing.
I'm living my life according to a system that makes sense. So I made the decision. Yes, it involved a decision. It wasn't easy for me to walk back into there. There was a to and a fro, and I sat there and I found myself shivering, literally shaking. I'm giving you one example. This story happened more than once in more than one place. But I'm sitting there looking at the Gemara and I see I'm shaking. And I stop and I ask myself, what am I scared of? 10 years I learned here, I was okay. Now I'm suddenly scared. Well, yeah, I do see bullet holes around me. I do know where But if I've thought it through and I've gone with the system I believe in, so then I don't have to fear. That doesn't mean nothing bad will happen. I have no guarantee what will happen. But I can be confident. Holech batom. And that's one of the greatest gifts that the Torah can give us. That a person can have a serenity of yelech betach. Can go with confidence. And this is a road, it's one of the questions that I pose to couples. It's one of the most important questions to my mind when people are dating. How do you make decisions? People very often look at the fact that we share goals, that we share values, that's very good. And what will happen when a new question will arise that you guys did not cover in dating? How will you decide? And to my mind, that is not less important than the other questions. What's your formula? If you say, well, I go with this Rav, I go with this Halacha, I go with Rav Avadya Yosef, I go with Yalkut Yosef. Fine, I'm not saying which path is right. I'm just saying you have to be aligned in the system you're going to use. And a person who can be aligned with the way of the Torah, who can try to align himself with an understanding that's a traditional understanding of the Torah, so then that affords him great confidence. And the reason I say traditional goes back to the Kuzari. Because if I'm inventing, if it's up to my understanding, like the Kuzari says about the Karaites, then maybe tomorrow I'll understand it differently. If I'm not firmly grounded in tradition, so then I can't be confident.
The problem is that also
I understand it this way.
But some people, they don't have a system.
Just 1 second, I'm sorry, he's waiting. Yes.
So, here's the thing though. Bad things happen to good people, like,
right,
all the time. Like, even in the Torah, the Torah even seems to emphasize this. To every single great figure we have in our history, the really bad things happen, even unusually bad things happen. It almost seems like bad things happen to good people, as opposed to, like, you know, this, rich but wicked kings. So, like, to sit there, and if I was, like, in a position, I was sitting in, like, a place that I knew was dangerous, right? I couldn't reason with myself.
Wait. That wasn't the point. The point was it's not dangerous.
It's not dangerous.
The point is it's an emotional reaction. If you think about it, and you work with the halachic system, and you ask yourself, okay, is this dangerous? Am I scared because it's dangerous? Or have I thought it through and I verified and halachically it's not dangerous. It's okay for me to be here. I'm not saying it's dangerous but everything's going to work out right because I'm doing what's right. I'm not saying that. I'm saying I have a limit of what I have to worry about. And if I'm working within a system of the Torah, if I believe in the Torah and I'm working within the system of the Torah and I'm doing what's right, so then I can be whole, not because of the outcome's going to be good. I don't know what the outcome's going to be. But I can be confident. I've done what's right. Okay, I don't need to do more than that. You want to be more cautious? Fine, you could do what you want. But you could also go down that road and say, I did mine.
Ah, so you're saying, like, sometimes I have this too, like, there's a really stressful situation, right? And I'm doing a lot. I just sit down and I think, well, can I do more? No, I can't. So there's no use worrying about the situation. You know, like, it's like nothing's going to change, but I've done all I can, so why bother even think about it?
Oh, the only difference between what you're saying and I'm saying is that I'm not saying I've done all I can, I'm saying I've done all I should. That's a difference. And if I have a system that defines for me what I should, I don't have to do all I can. I have to do all I should. There's a difference. And that's part of the gift that the Torah gives us. I can go to sleep at night and say, I'm doing what I should be doing.
Sometimes we can't do what we should be doing. We're in a situation or a place or a situation or a mood or a condition.
Well, I think that practically what we should...
Okay, fine.
No?
Right, and
like
then you don't have that
like
serenity,
okay,
right?
You don't have an arm. You have a cat, whatever it's called. You broke your arm. Okay. Okay. Not
but then I don't have to.
Different shaylot about...
But then I don't have to. Hashem doesn't expect me to do things if I have a cat.
Rabbi.
Just one second. He's waiting. Yeah.
Just
trying
ago,
to go in order.
Yeah.
4 years ago, in the South American had a crash on the line. That company I was working, one of my best friend, she just decided to change the flight with me. And I don't know if you guys hear, and it was in the big airport in São Paulo, the airplane going straight outside the strip. It killed everyone. I was supposed to be in this land. I was supposed to die.
What's supposed to be
the other day? I fly.
I don't understand.
If I, you understand that you always hear in the library, learn, and for 10 years in Mikazara. Was very shocking for me, but I need to face this. I need to face this. I face that. What I need to do? I stop it and not work, or not to face another day. Okay, I need to work. It's very, very, very. I need to, like Rabbi said, that we need to do the right things that we need to do.
Yep.
It was very, very, very hard. Imagine that you see that so long. That
you're supposed to be on this flight.
Yeah, supposed to be on this flight.
So are you saying that she did everything she should have been doing?
Right. No one's guaranteeing you the outcome is going to be good. But the point is, I think we have to be more focused on life.
Exactly. 4 years.
Bye bye.
And if someone dies supposedly prematurely to your eyes, you didn't think it was Rav Yosef, I think it was the Arizal. One time there was a bris in where he was, like in Tzfat, and the baby died right after the bris, right? So everyone's like, oh, how could Hashem do this? They just took this poor baby instead of bris. And Arizal said, no, that was actually Rav Yosef Karl who made the Shulchan Aruch. Why? Because he actually had a medical issue and he couldn't have his bris on the 8th day. So the Gilgal was, came back down and fulfilled the stipula and then he went back. So there's a lot of things that you don't understand whatsoever.
I hear, wow. Malachi.
Wow, I was thinking... What? Yeah, I was thinking just what you said, that we do what we're supposed to do. Okay, we know from the Torah that what we're supposed to do is less than what...